The Feast of Tabernacles culminated in a year's exciting period of time for all of us. We were looking forward with great anticipation because it is a foretaste of the kingdom of God. We enjoyed what we heard. We hungered and thirsted for the things that God was going to give to us. And if we, as I've mentioned, if we have gone with the idea to hunger and thirst for God's righteousness, we will be filled. God has promised that with His Holy Spirit. But now we're back in the world. We've come back into this world, and something amazing has happened and transpired. In just that short period of time, from the wonderful period that we look forward to in the return of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God, we came back and we discovered something. That the world we live in seems to be extremely infatuated by mysteries and mysterious happenings. Many TV shows are geared around what we call the paranormal and the occult. Many knowingly and some unknowingly are involved in the occult. And we have just the other day celebrated, which from some of our literature in the United Church of God, here's a highlight. I'm not going to read the whole article, but it disappeared in one of our articles in the past in the Good News magazine. But listen to again the headline as a very important reminder. Why God has called us to come out of her, my people. I've told you before, I'll tell you again, three levels. You've got to know what God is doing, what was His reason for doing, why He did what He did, and outlines it. Romans 15, verse 4, all things are written for our learning. Are we learning those lessons? Number two, what's going on around us? We're going to touch on some of that. And what's going on inside of us? Because this is a day and age where people have gotten very, very lax. It's the Laodicean period of time. What that means is that people are kind of laid back. And they're just kind of, nothing really excites them. But the Word of God is the most exciting thing you can embrace when you discover the truth. Because without the truth, you're left in limbo land. It's, what's your idea? What's your idea? What's my idea? Who cares? The only idea that really counts is what God says, because He is the source of life and He's given us the example, and through His own Son says He is the truth and the light and the life of men. And so what we learn is that what we come back to in this world is not something that God looks kindly upon. You and I are living in a sewer. But we have gotten so, in this world, society has gotten so lax, and I hope and pray to God we're not lax in any way, but the society has become very lax. And you'll see, as we touch on some of these highlights, the things that you and I know are commonplace, everyday happenings that we're being bombarded by, and just 20 years ago, it would be have thought of, this is terrible, but not anymore. What was once taboo is now embraced. Evils of all kinds are being embraced. How does God see all this? Well, here's an article on Halloween. And we just celebrated that in this world. A lot of people got all dressed up. They thought it was a great time to take the... Oh, it's for the kids. We've got to take the kids. But we're going to do something today a little bit different in terms of the material I want to bring to you for this reason. If you've been in the Church of God for any period of time and studied the Scriptures, in the broad general way, you know that certain things in this world are wrong and evil. And we don't celebrate Halloween because we know where it comes from. We know that it does not have the stamp of approval by Almighty God. For example, modern celebration of Halloween may appear on the surface to be quite harmless. That's how the world looks at it. But the spiritual implications of dabbling with the spirit world are extremely serious. But people don't take things seriously anymore. They don't believe in consequences anymore. They think they can do anything they want to do, live any way they want to live, and no one should complain. No one should say anything. Judge not that you be not judged is the favorite scripture they like to throw in your face. And God comes right back and throws it in their face and says, you better judge righteous judgment. It is important to judge. There are things that are moral. There are things that are immoral. There are things that are sacred. There are things that are profane. There are things that are clean. And there are things that are unclean. And it is important for us to keep these perspectives in light of God's word. Now, here's another aspect here. Originally, Halloween was a pagan festival. Yeah, people know that. They're not dumb. They're not stupid. They can hit Google. They can go to Wikipedia. They're not dumb or idiotic in terms of saying, hey, you know, I don't believe this. But here's the problem. It was a pagan festival oriented around fire. A fire is a symbol of purification rites. The pagans had purification rites. God has purification rites too. And he didn't borrow them from the pagan. It's the pagans who have perverted because of their evil orientation. It also celebrates the dead and the powers of darkness. And you remember one of the major things in Star Wars, the George Lucas movies, that were so popular about Darth Vader. And what did he say to Luke? Luke, you do not know the power of the dark side. There's power out there, not even anywhere close to where God is, but there is power, a dabbling that can really bring serious circumstances to people. How did it become accepted in the Christian world? Good question. You can drive by churches today and you will see the aftermath now of what happened with regard to Halloween. In front of their signs, it will have a little thing, come celebrate Halloween with us. And they'll have pumpkins all over selling pumpkins as a church fundraiser. And they'll say, come and celebrate it. Don't have your kids trick and treating. You bring them here and we'll have a big party and we'll have. Why are they doing that? My point I want to emphasize again, it is a celebration of evil. Now, many of us, we've celebrated these things in the past. We did not know, we did not understand, it was just fun. Everything is fun, and masquerades, it's for the children. And that's why we're going to talk about this topic today, because it's imperative in light of that Deuteronomy 6 responsibility that you and I have been called to train our children and teach them the things that they need to know for their spiritual as well as physical survival. We've come to a place right now where it is very similar to what happened in Old Testament times. And we need to look back and reflect on some of these things, learn the lesson as it applies to us today in our day and age. I mentioned Romans 15:4, why it's so important. Well, you remember that one of the great problems Israel had is that they could not transmit properly the things of God to their children. This is a great falling away problem that they ran into. You will join me, if you will, in the book of Judges, chapter 2. The book of Judges, chapter 2. And here we're going to find what transpired and what we need to keep in mind in our day and age. Because as parents, it is our responsibility to help our sons and daughters remember the great works of God, what God did. Now we're told in Judges, in chapter 2, that when Moses was gone and Joshua was gone, the leadership disappeared. People need leaders. You know, they had that song, Where Have All the Flowers Gone? Where Have All the Leaders Gone? We don't have leaders anymore. We don't have statesmen. We have politicians that try to get elected and stay elected for the rest of their lives. But what did God do? He provided leadership. He gave them Moses. Then he gave them Joshua. But after they died, something happened. Notice, verse 10. It says, and also all the generations were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation. Well, that's normal. one generation after another. And this generation did what? Which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which the Lord done for Israel. Why is it they didn't know? Because they didn't receive the instruction from their loving parents. The parents started drifting, the kids start drifting. It's so important to recognize that we have a serious responsibility when we have children. And those of you who have young children or youthful children, you've got serious responsibilities still until they're up and off and gone, and then they're on their own. What happens then is their choice. Everyone's got to make their own choice in this calling of life. But here it says that they didn't know. Now, I'd like to stop there and inject another example of a story, someone that we should always remember. His name was Joseph. Now, Joseph was a remarkable young man. And remember the story of Joseph, how he and his brothers were out in the field, and he says, "Hey, guys, I had a marvelous dream last night. I have my sheaf standing here. This is me. And you had all your sheaves out there representing you. And guess what? I got to tell you, you were all bowing down to me." Now, that probably wasn't the best wisdom being expressed to his brothers at the time, because you realize that's why they hated him. Because what do you mean? We're all going to bow down to you? Well, that was yet in the future. That's what God was doing, preparing things. They didn't know that. Even Joseph didn't know that. Then he had another dream. Now mom and dad were involved. And everything's bowing down. And the father told him, he says, "You mean we're going to be bowing down to you too?" And it says, but the father considered very carefully that dream. What was the meaning of it? Well, you know the story. Joseph then ends up getting taken by his brothers, thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, goes to Egypt. And every step of the way, God was with him. Now, he probably didn't know at that time, when he was in that pit, that that was the best thing going for him. But God had to maneuver things step by step and bring him to a place where he would end up in a place called Egypt. Later in the process of time, years later, the family grows down there in the land of Goshen. The parents come down and he reveals himself. First he doesn't, but then he reveals himself. And here from that particular case, and then again, a test on morality. Because when he was in Potiphar's house, guess what? Potiphar's wife, who was known not to be the most virtuous woman, she ended up doing what? Hitting on Joseph. He was a handsome young guy, strong. Lie with me. You know, when the cat's away, the mice do play. Potiphar's gone, he'll never know. Well, you know what Joseph's response was. It's recorded for our learning. He said, "No, I can't do that." He says, "Your husband has given me access to everything." And see, Potiphar could see that. He could see God was blessing him in everything he was doing. And the only restriction he had, "My wife, she's mine. Stay away from her." He understood that. She didn't. She wanted to play. And of course, the story was then she accused him of being raped. He was trying to rape her. He ends up in prison. Then he takes over everything down in the prison, and God was with him down there. More dreams come. The baker, the cupbearer is the term, was it was. The baker and the cupbearer. And out of that, he is raised to the status of second in command in Egypt. God saw that, creates a famine, drives people down there. He saves much life. The story we learn from Joseph, that through all those trials, he never turned his back on God. And step by step, God was with him and blessed him. And it's the same lesson for us. No matter what the trial, God is with us as long as we're with him. And we do not forsake him. Joseph didn't do it. And he has no faults recorded. Sure, he was a sinner like everyone else. He wasn't perfect. But he lived an upright life as a model and a type of Jesus Christ, who was a perfect example of living an upright life, seeking to do the will of the Father. Now, what you learn from all of that is, again, in the book of Exodus, it says, when Joseph died, leadership in Egypt changed. There was a new Pharaoh in the land who knew not Joseph, after all the marvelous things Joseph had done. So here's how things can change so very, very rapidly, and why you and I need to pray constantly and ask for God's guidance, His help, His protection in a world that can change overnight, can just change overnight. Then God gave judges. And what you read back there in Judges then from that point on is that in verse 11, that the children of, this is chapter 2, Judges again, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baal. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers that brought them out of Egypt, and they followed other gods, gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves. Now there's your second commandment being violated. That's the lesson of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're not going to bow to your idol, Nebuchadnezzar. We have to be careful to what we bow to in this life, because we can bow to various types of intimidation. We can be taken and thrown back spiritually because we worry about what other people think instead of what God thinks. If we put God in His number one position, everything else filters out the way it needs to be. And this, the rest of the story, which we're going to go through, and you read the rest of this chapter and how the problems they had because of walking, and yet God was still merciful and sent judges to help them every time they cried out in their misery. How many times when we have done things we shouldn't have done and we've cried out in repentance and God did what? He lifted us right back up and gave us the need and the help and the strength that we needed to go forward. Well, that brings us now to what we want to look at today. We're going to discuss, I've entitled this message because for those of us called out at this time, it is critical that we understand what's behind the scenes influencing the masses of humanity and affecting their behavior. Their behavior, what they do. Now, last night, on this night celebration of evil called Halloween, Night of All Hallows, it's the worship of Samhain, the god of the dead. Well, God is not the god of the dead, but the god of the living. It's worship of devil worship and many other things that gets associated with it. And what we need to ask ourselves and what we want to explore today is what's behind the Hollywood madness. I said Hollywood, but it should be Halloween madness. What's behind the Halloween madness? We'll talk about Hollywood a little bit later in the sermon because they have a contributing factor to this problem that has influenced mankind. But our world seems to be absolutely infatuated with it. It's like a giant party. It's now become the number one holiday for earning money in the United States and probably elsewhere as well. People just love Halloween. And yet, it doesn't represent something that God is pleased with. Number one, some definitions to look at very quickly. Paranormal. We hear the word paranormal from time to time. It's a claimed occurrence of an event. Somebody claims an event happens, or it's a perception that is given without scientific explanation. Without scientific explanation. They can't explain it. They just say it happened. And they want to believe that this happened. They want to believe they have talked to somebody who is dead and deceased, when the Bible says you can't talk to the dead. And we'll see why in a little bit later. The word occult, which is the highlight of what Halloween is all about. And the reason why we're doing this is for a very important reason, with young people sitting in our midst as well as seniors over the years in the Church of God. Every time we come on the Sabbath, we come for the purpose of studying the Word of God to learn more of what God wants us to grasp and comprehend. We go to the holy days to learn about the holy days and the plan and purpose of God. We come on the Sabbath to learn about the restful Sabbath and our relationship with God. These holidays of the world come and go. We're going to get blitzed with them here now. We've got Halloween, then we've got Christmas coming up. followed by New Year's Day, then Valentine's Day. I mean, it's a bang, 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 right up until Passover time again. So the world is just throwing everything at us in this world. We live in it, but we're not to be a part of it. Our young people need to know why we should not be a part of it. And as we look for the things of God to explain the good things of God, we need to also look and see what the Bible has to say when God is upset with the things of the world and why he says, hands off if you're going to be my servant, if you're going to be my son and daughter. Because this is very important to our Creator. Occult has to do with pertaining to magic. Have you heard the word magic in our world? Astrology. Or to hide from sight or conceal. Yeah, the occult is the dark world. It's things concealed that they don't want you to understand. Occultism is the belief or the study of supernatural powers with the possibility of human control. Why do people play around with this? They want to get the advantage over other people. And if they can get these supports from the spirit world, then they feel they've got the edge. That's why you and I are told not to fear or put any faith or confidence in any of this type of thing, because, again, our confidence is God, who will keep our foot from being taken. Notice some of the biblical terminologies. I'm going to throw these out very quickly. I just want you to think about the world we live in. And do you hear this from time to time? Have you heard of words such as sorcerers? There are people, remember Merlin was in the famous, what do you call that? That was the so-called beautiful place called Camelot. And what did Camelot produce? What was his great counselor? Merlin the magician. You see, these things are all built into stories, things we hear every day. Wizards. Wizards. How many kids, how many of us grew up with the wonderful Wizard of Oz? The first colored movie in Hollywood, from black and white to color, played on a yearly basis. Here comes the Wizard of Oz, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. In that movie, you saw several other things thrown at you, did you not? You saw Glinda, was she wicked? No, she was the good witch of the West. It was that one in the black who came. She was the sister to the one that the house fell on, if you remember the movie. See, we know these things. It's all part of it. We've been exposed to it. So you have things of that nature. You got soothsayers, observers of time, fortune tellers. See any signs around the city anywhere going? Somebody's going to read your palm? Actually, what they do, they want to take the money out of the palm of your hand. But that's what they do. Charmers. Charmers are those who use magic spells. You can get whole books. You can go to the book libraries and you can go to Barnes & Noble, and there are books on spells and things like that that people put their faith and confidence in. They're playing with the devil and they don't even realize it. And some people know where it comes from, and they have sold their soul to the devil to do these things. These are serious things from the biblical perspective. We forget this because we don't pay attention like we should. What about necromancers? You ever hear about a necromancer? What in the world's a necromancer? Well, it has to do with inquiring for the dead. In the early 1900s, there was a powerful movement. It's somewhat coming back under different names today. It was called the Spiritism Movement. And what you would do, and it was very the elite, the people who had money, they would get to this woman and she would set up a seance for these people. And this was like, let's have a meal and let's go have a seance tonight. What are we going to do at the seance? Well, we're going to talk to Aunt Jenny. She's long gone. I've been missing Aunt Jenny. I've got to find out what's cooking on her side. She's on the other side over there. So here we go. All right, everybody hold hands. Everybody be quiet, you know. And turn the candles out. Aunt Jenny, are you there? And guess what? People bought it lock, stock, and barrel. And there's all kinds of charlatans and people who take advantage of that. You know that. There's a lot of phony malonies out there. But there are some legitimate things you've got to watch out for. This is what God is talking about. Because if you're not careful, You're playing with fire. You just don't realize you're about to get burned. And so the Word of God is designed to help us in this matter. How about familiar spirits? Oh, yeah, there are a lot of people who got their channeling spirit. Have you heard the term channeling? A lot of top people in the movie industry, in politics, they have their channeler. One particular lady, she wrote a book called Out on a Limb. Well, she got out on a limb all right, doing that type of thing. But see, she believes in that type of thing and writes books about it. Divination, witchcraft, consulters of familiar spirits. Does the Bible have anything to say about things like that? Let's take a look and see what the Bible says. Because like we look into the Bible to see what God says about His way of life, let's look and see some scriptures where God says, here's the other side of that coin, and I want you to take it seriously. I want you to recognize what's out there, what you're up against, and how you are being 24/7 bombarded by this influence. And unless you are fighting it with the Spirit of God, you're coming under its influence. And you don't even realize it. So the danger is, we're the people of God. Are we? Are we the people of God? Only if we do what God says. So this should give us pause, because we see what happened to ancient Israel. And remember, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So how He viewed things back there is how He views it here, and how He will view it in the future. So we need to listen carefully. Just take it carefully. God is not trying to scare the daylights out of us. He's just trying to say, look, there are dangers on the horizon and you better take note of it, because if you discard it, I can't help you, is what God is saying. If you cry out to me and ask for guidance, help, and direction, I'll be there for you. There's no power greater than mine. And we can rest in the confidence of God's word from the scriptures in that way. Exodus 22, verse 18. Let's go through a few of these scriptures very quickly and see what it has to say in admonition to us. Remember in Matthew 4 and verse 4, there was a confrontation between someone you know real well from the scriptures, his name is Jesus Christ, and another one you know well, Satan the devil. And Christ was being tempted of the devil. And of course, he had been 40 days and 40 nights without food and water, and he was extremely hungry. We go 3 days and three nights without water, we think we're going to die. And yet, look at him. 40 days and 40 nights. Talk about focus and determination, keeping his mind where it needed to be. While in a weakened state physically, he was growing stronger and stronger with God the Father, knowing he was going to have this battle with Satan. But in Exodus 22, verse 18, when Satan threw the challenge at him and said, if you be the Son of God, you know you're hungry, make these stones, turn them into bread. And what was his answer? He reached back into the book of Deuteronomy and pulled out one of the important tools that was needed to fight that temptation. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And you've got that, and I've got that right here in the Bible, the Word of God. And what did he say back there to the Israelites as he was giving instruction in the teaching, the Torah, the first five books of the Bible? The Old Testament is broken up in three subdivisions. It's called the Torah, it's called the Prophets, made up of the major and the minor, and the Psalms, or some refer to it as the writings. The writings. And in this particular case, notice what he told them. You shall not suffer a witch to live. If somebody was found practicing witchcraft in Old Testament Israel, they were put to death. God enforced the death penalty. Now, this is what's serious. This is the side that we need to see when we start dabbling with the wrong side of the coin. We better be on the right side with God in this area, is what he's telling us. All right? Now we move to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus is a very interesting book. It's the priestly book, and it deals with holiness, of which you and I are called to be holy and to be like our God. In Leviticus chapter 19, we find some very important instruction. Leviticus 19 and verse 31. It says that you and I are to do what? Regard not them. Another way of saying, don't pay any attention to who? Those that have familiar spirits. Those that are in league with demonic sources, channelers, people who have supposed insight, who are going to give you information. This again is where you have to be extremely careful. He says, neither seek after wizards. Oh yeah, we see that they're here. Notice why God says you mustn't do it. Because if you do, you're defiled. You see, God has a very powerful investment in this. As we say, he's got a dog in this fight. And that fight is that he wants us to be holy like he is holy. And so he tells us here that what you've got to do is you've got to stay away from these elements because they will defile you. You'll become unclean in my sight. And God wants us to be holy. And he goes on to say, he said, you'll be defiled by them. And then he emphasizes, I am the Lord your God. So here, he is our Jehovah Elohim. He is the one who has designed what course of action we are to live this life that God has given to us. Who gave it to us? Did the dark side give us this life? Or did God, who is light, give us this life? And he tells us, in order to maintain in the life that you must walk, to stay in the light, you've got to heed and obey his instructions. So here, this is what we're striving to do. Is the world striving to do this? Aren't you glad you don't have to dress up like a skeleton? That the Bible tells you, dress up like a skeleton, look like a freak, and have fun defiling yourself. No, God says, I don't want you to look like a freak. I don't want you to have to be like the walking dead. I don't want you to look like the fictitious Satan with horns and a tail. I don't want you to do any of that. I want you to be conformed to the image of my Son so that I can give you eternal life. For it is by grace you will be saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God who loves us and made us in his image, and he didn't make us like a bunch of freaks. He made us very, very lovingly put together as husbands and wives to be in a marriage relationship for family and for a spiritual marriage relationship with our God and our Creator. These are marvelous things that the Bible talks about. But Satan would take us just the opposite way. Chapter 20 of Leviticus and verse 6. Chapter 20 and verse 6. The soul that turns after such that have familiar spirits or after wizards to go a-whoring after them. Notice the term whoring, and that means an infidelity relationship. When a marriage is broken up because of false conduct that is not pleasing in God's sight, it's likened unto whoring, going after a relationship that doesn't have God's blessing. He says, then I will, notice, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be you holy, for I am the Lord your God. You see, God does not want to have sons and daughters who are immoral replicants. He wants sons and daughters who are virtuous people, sons and daughters to whom he can honor them with blessing, and he has promised so to do. Also, Deuteronomy, a marvelous book. These scriptures you probably haven't gone through for a long time. Maybe you have, but I take it that most of us have not gone back to review some of these things, and God has commanded us to live by every word of his. Now, in chapter 18 and beginning in verse 9. Chapter 18 and verse 9. Notice how specific God gets. He says, when you are come into the land. Now that's what happens when they went into the land of Palestine, in the land of Canaan. Prior to that, they were traveling. Now God opened the door and he threw the Canaanites out because their sin had come to the full. But now he gives admonition, because remember, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If I throw this group of people out because of what they're doing, be careful, because if you do the same thing, I'm going to throw you out. Because I can't change. I have to do the same thing to be judicially honorable. So what God has done, he gives instruction. He says, when you are come into the land, I would like it unto this. When you become converted under the new covenant and the Spirit of God, you begin to see and understand these things. And once you do, notice what he says. When you are come into the land, or I would say when you become converted in this matter, in this land that we live today, which the Lord your God gives you. He gives this to you. And he says, very important scripture to mark, you shall not learn to do after the detestable things of those nations. Abominations means detestable things. And when you study the history of these people, they were involved in all types of practices. They would burn their children in sacrificial fires. They would offer them to their pagan gods. And we have the same thing happening today. People don't realize it. You know, on Halloween, for example, one of the things, the customs that a lot of times people have done, maybe some of you remember that if you've ever done it, it's called jumping through the fire. You create a bonfire. And all the kids used to get together and bob for apples and so forth. And then they set the bonfire and then you go jump through the bonfire. Isn't that fun? Jump through the bonfire? Didn't even know or have a clue as to what in the world are we doing. And yet, fire is always the symbol of purification. It was a pagan rite of purification, and we didn't know purification to the false gods, the counterfeit god, the god of Samhain. So here we have the admonition, verse 10. There shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son or daughter. Don't make your son or daughter do what? Pass through the fire. Pass through the fire. And then it goes on to say, or use divination, or observe times, or an enchanter, or a witch. Now the enchanter is one that casts spells, and the witch is a female, a warlock. We move on in verse 11. It says, or a charmer, or a consulter of familiar spirits, a wizard, necromancer, for all, verse 12, that do such things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, these detestable things, the Lord your God does drive them out from before you. So there you have a very serious admonition from the Word of God. He does not want us to be involved, even though we're exposed to it. He does not want us to let that creep into our everyday lifestyle. Now, has it done that with the masses? Oh, yeah. Have you heard about people who follow astrology? Oh, yeah. And astrology forecast? There was one lady who became very famous in the 1960s. Her name was Jean Dixon. And what did she do? She did an astrological forecast and told President John F. Kennedy, you must not go to Dallas because the configuration of the planets and the stars forbode ominous things for you. It happened. He was assassinated. Her stock went up like crazy. Boy, we better find out more and get some more readings from her because, look, how did she know? She didn't know. She just says, kind of got dark down there in Dallas, and I didn't know something. It's going to be bad. You better not go. Very general, because the spirit world knows things as well. They know that certain things are going to happen. So horoscopes, do people follow them? Oh, yeah. First ladies in the White House have followed them, from Hillary Clinton, Nancy Reagan, and others in the past. Some have gone to the White House, to certain rooms, to communicate with certain spirits of dead first ladies of the past, Eleanor Roosevelt, for example. Well, when you hear all this stuff, does it mean anything to us? It should just absolutely set the woods on fire and say, it's exactly what God said in the Word of God. His Word is true, and it's all around us. And God is saying, don't panic. Just stay clean from it. Don't, you know, you've been called out. You got to live in it, but I want you to recognize it. Because if you can't recognize it, dear folks, guess what? You can be deceived by it. Adam and Eve were deceived. Everything is not what it appears to be. And so it is important for us to recognize these things are very serious in the eyes of God. Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8, 19 and 20. Isaiah chapter 8, verses 19 and 20. A very important scripture to be reminded of, because there are people who do this. And we're told, it says, and when they shall say unto you, seek you unto them that have familiar spirits. In other words, somebody says, hey, you want to know something about the future? You got to go see Madam So-and-so because she's got a real insight. She told me we were looking at some tea leaves together and the tea leaves talked to her and told her this. I mean, it becomes almost laughable, brethren. But it's deadly serious to people who get caught up in this stuff. They really believe it. And you and I are told when they tell you that, don't believe it, God says. Because there's no real valid truth to what they're saying. And then he goes on to say, and when they say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and mutter, should not a people seek their God from the living to the dead? In other words, we have a God, a living God, who is an eternal God. And if we want to know something, we should look to Him for guidance and answers. And where do we find that? By studying His Word. Study to show yourself approved to God. This is so important. And then he says, to the law. Oh, well, how can people learn then? Because today they're being told the law is done away. And yet we're told to go to the law. And even the essence of the new covenant is writing the law of God in our minds and in our hearts. So here we have, he says, go to the law and to the testimony. The testimony was what Jesus said and gave to his disciples who became the apostles. And remember in Revelation it says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You want to know what's going to happen in the future? Listen to Jesus. He'll tell you. And he says, when you see certain things happen, look up, your redemption draws nigh. When you see an abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, get ready. There's going to be fireworks. Get out of Jerusalem. Leave your stuff behind. Forget it all. It's not worth hanging on to anything. Get busy and move. But you know, if you listen to those type of comments from Jesus and you only take it in a haphazard manner, then you might say, well, I don't know if I should do this or not. You could lose your life in something like that. Because when Jesus speaks, we have to learn how to jump at his command. Because he's never going to tell us something contrary to our good. To the law, to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, the law and the testimony, it is because there is no light in them. No matter how good they make it sound, no matter how it looks like it is appealing and good, he says, don't do it. Well, we find a lot of other things that have happened that people take advantage or follow in this area. You remember that in Isaiah 58 and verse 1, it tells us that we are to do what? Cry aloud and spare not. Show my people their sins. Show them what sin is all around them. Because if you don't believe it's sin and you don't see it from God's perspective, then you might think it's okay. And do you remember how all of us got trapped as kids growing up? All of us have done this. There's something you want to do. You got your own personal agenda. Something you want to do. So you go to mom and dad. And you say, can I do this? Can I do that? And maybe it's a clash with a biblical principle that mom and dad know. No, this is not good for you. No, you can't do that. And then the kid might get into a momentary huff, like I call it. You go, why can't I do that? Everybody else is doing it. Oh, everybody. anybody else. Where is that in the Scripture? Where is that in the Scripture? Where it is that the wages of sin is death. And everybody does it. And that's what we're not supposed to do. We're supposed to live in the Spirit, not in the flesh. But we've all been guilty of it. See, what am I talking about? Discernment, brethren. Why does God allow it? He wants us to learn the great lesson of, can you spot what is good and can you spot what is evil? Discernment is a very important time because we have a real problem with that today. People are confused. They don't know how to discern the real, genuine article. We live with artificial intelligence. We've got all kinds of virtual reality when that's not reality in essence. So these things are going down all around us. Revelation 21 and verse 8, very important scripture because now this is getting close to the establishment with the kingdom of God and a person's involvement in it. And notice what he says. A person that overcomes is going to inherit everything. In verse 7, God will be his God and he shall be my son, my daughter. We'll be blessed by being in a close personal relationship with our Creator. Then, verse 8. But the fearful or the timid, the ones that back away, like the man who buried his talent. He said, because I knew what kind of God you are. That, you know, you run a tight ship, God. You're not loose and, hey, it's okay. You don't tolerate sin. And if we're to be a part of the kingdom of God, he says, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, there you have it, idolaters, all liars will have their part in the lake of fire that burns with brimstone, which is the second death. In other words, it's talking about people who will not repent and come to God and acknowledge their sins, but would rather be hardened and follow their own ways, as some people might put it this way. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. God says, either I do, or you're not there with me. Now that should make us all stop and think very seriously. Because I want to be there, and I want to see all of you there. And we know that God is working on a wonderful plan that will even cover our friends, our family, our loved ones who may not be called at this time. What a wonderful God to serve. Who's going to bring everybody up in a resurrection and give them a fair shot at this wonderful calling. And when we think of the billions of people, 7.5 billion right now, and how many millions and billions were there before? And God says he knows every one of them. Just like he knows the stars in the heaven and he calls them all by name. He knows who you are, who I am, who everybody is. He knows what you're going to experience in the course of your life and your sojourn. And he's going to watch to see, do you seek his counsel? Do you seek his aid? Or do you run to the world and rather be a friend of the world? Now, obviously, I pray that none of us have any desire to want to be a part of the world. We got to live in it, but we don't want to be a part of it. If we're going to have God's blessing, we have to remember that. Discernment is a very important part of this whole equation. And what makes the difference? It's God himself. Because the average person would say moral or immoral. They don't know what's moral or immoral anymore. They don't know how to make righteous judgment. Romans 1 says God, because of that, he's given them over to a reprobate mind to do the wrong things. Boy, we see a lot of that today. And we heard one individual make the statement, and it's true, not only this individual, but many. But when it's all sudden difference, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? It makes all the difference in the world because there is a God who says so. Now, people can choose to believe it or not believe it. But God's not going to go away because they choose not to believe it. His word is going to last forever. He's got the last word. And he wins every time. So that's important for us to keep in mind. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22, you want to mark that one in your scriptures because it says that we are to abstain from all appearance of evil. Anything that would cast a dispersion upon our character Because people say, well, why are you doing that? You're flirting with evil or wrong behavior. Now, how would that be today? Well, a young person coming up, you like to be with your friends and your peer group. But what if your peer group turned around and said the following? Said, hey, I've got a little crystal meth. Would you like to have some? I mean, you know, just a little bit. Well, that's when you say, uh-uh. Because a friend would not give you something like that. A fair-weather friend might, but it's very important that we recognize that all this evil I've been talking about, brethren, and why we've had to review this today after this Halloween period, that we are surrounded by this stuff. And when you're surrounded by it, don't think it's going to not have an effect upon you. And that's where the movies have come in with Hollywood big time. They play on this, the demonic movies, all the terrible things, you know, the killing, the Walking Dead, chainsaw massacres and things like that. Crazy stuff. Who wants to go to a motion picture show, pay good money, and say, let's go watch people get their heads cut off? Remember that guy, Freddy the Nightmare guy with the long fingers? That was a babe. People like to go sit and get scared. What if suddenly that was you and it wasn't you vicariously watching, but suddenly now it is coming at you? You would be screaming and running like crazy in the opposite direction. Then why go see it? Why watch it? Oh, it's all done in fun. No, it's not fun. Never has been and never been fun in God's eyes. He tells us that things are going to happen. The occult is forbidden. And God says we are to avoid these things in order to be pleasing to our God. It's an important part of review. We review the holy days and the plan of God. Let's not fall asleep at the switch and think that these things around us, that are everywhere around us, cannot have an influence upon us. That we need to abstain from all appearance of evil. We need to be alert to what is legit and what is illegitimate. What is sacred and what is profane. Do you know how you can profane the name of your God? How we could do that? Not just saying four-letter words. Just don't live the kind of a life that God wants you to live, and you're profaning the name of your God who has called us to be holy, like Him. People are going to be shocked one day when they find out how far they have strayed and how they have been deceived and taken advantage of. You and I now are no longer in that area. We've been given insight. We know why God is doing what He's doing. We know why the world is doing what it's doing. Now, what are we doing? That will remain the final equation. That will be God's final judgment on how we live our lives.